Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. So happy to have you joining me again this week as we are making our way through some really powerful verses in 1 Peter chapter 1. And as we said yesterday, I don't know about you, but as I've been praying through these verses and as we've been talking about them together and chewing on God's word, I think this is a perfect time for me and how Lent is going to kind of recontextualize my Lent. Obviously, this whole vision is supposed to contextualize our life, but the seasons of the church are given to us to kind of live our larger lives for Christ in a microcosm in particular seasons. And so in the season of Lent, we're living towards the resurrection of Christ. We're walking towards that. And so as we're walking towards that, we're living in the reality that Christ is going to be revealed. And as we've talked about over the last 3 days, and if you haven't been with us, I encourage you to go back and listen to some really good stuff that has been helping me so much during Lent, that we're living in the light of the fact that Jesus Christ will be revealed. So how does this determine how I walk? Well, how does it determine how I walk? It shows me that I need to be obedient. Obedient to what? Not to my former way of life, but to God. And that obedience shows up in a particular way to say, I'm actually called to be holy and set apart because I belong to a holy God. And I was thinking this, that that's such a good thing to say to ourselves when we're caught in temptation, particularly any sexual temptation, any bodily temptation, any way that we're being tempted back to live in the former passions of our ignorance and our former way of life. That's actually a really good thing to say to ourselves in the power of the Spirit in the midst of temptation. That when sin is tugging on us, when we want to move back into those former passions, when we're about to take that step into those former passions and that former way of life, to say to ourselves, I belong to a holy God. I belong to a holy God. And that can actually swerve, I think, especially these bodily temptations, especially these temptations of the passion to say, like, no, I can't indulge in that. Because I belong to a holy God, then I'm holy and I'm expected to be holy. So I invite you this Lent, as you're resisting temptation, as you're fleeing from temptation, just to try that, to try saying that I belong to a holy God. And we're going to continue on to look at what does that mean, because there's a particular way that Peter is inviting us to walk. He's inviting us to walk in holy fear. And I want to spend today talking about what that means and what that looks like, holy fear, because Lent is a time where we walk in holy fear of the Lord. But before we read, I want to dive back into our questions. A couple days this week, we've had some Lenten questions that we've been reflecting on. And I know for me, even yesterday, confronting some of the ways that I'm living still according to the standard of the world and not Christ's standard reveals to me some answers to those questions. So the questions, again, that I think are really good for reflecting on this time of Lent are, what am I relying on that's not Christ? What do I fear losing? What controls me more than Christ does? And where am I being invited to trust? What controls me more than Christ does? And where am I being invited to trust? So I want to invite you just very simply again, in light of the scriptures that we're talking about, to reflect again on those questions. And don't force answers, but allow the Holy Spirit to move. Allow the Holy Spirit to communicate to you what the Spirit of God wants to communicate to you so that we can grow and be transformed. Amen? So let's go ahead and pray. And we're going to move into this next section of we're building, right? We're building. So the Jesus Christ is going to be revealed to us at the end of time. And because of that, the way that we live now looks differently. We're called to be obedient children. And if we long for his coming, we desire to be obedient. And what does obedience mean? It means being holy as Christ is holy. And so now how do we walk in that holiness? What does it mean to walk in a holy way of life. So let's read God's word and go from there after we pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, we just acknowledge that you are holy. You are the Holy One of Israel. You are majestic in all of your ways. You are what it means to be good. You are what it means to be great. You are what it means to be beautiful. You are what it means to be perfectly obedient to the Father. And so, Lord, as we enter into this word, we ask that through the power of the Holy Spirit, you would give us a concrete experience of belonging to a holy God. That yes, God is love. Yes, God is our Savior. Yes, Jesus died for us. All of these things are so true. But this reality, bring us into awe and reverence of your holiness that leads us to a deeper desire to see you face to face and to not offend you, that we may walk in perfect obedience. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, I'm going to start with verse 14, and we're going to go through verse 23. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you invoke as Father him who judges each one impartially according to his deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your fathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest at the end of the times for your sake. Through him you have confidence in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere love of the brethren, love one another earnestly from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. So where we left off last time was, be holy, therefore, as your heavenly Father is holy. But as he who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in all of your conduct. So now he's going to get more specific about what this holiness means. He said, if you invoke as Father him who judges each one impartially according to his deeds. So he's saying, if you are saying that God is your Father, which you are, you belong to God. If you belong to God, God is the one, this Father is the one who judges each and every person totally fairly, impartially, according to his deeds. And I want to say this, according to his deeds. And what it means for God to judge impartially is God, in all of his perfection, takes into account every posture of our heart, everything that's happened to us, every circumstance that's outside of our control, everything. He sees our hearts. He reads it. He knows the state of every human heart. And he takes that into consideration when judging our deeds. He'll judge our hearts and he'll judge the posture of our hearts. But so much of the way he does that is he takes that into consideration and judges our deeds. Friends, this is so important. God will judge what we do. You could have good intentions your entire life, but if you never follow through, we could be like, oh God, I intended to do it, but that temptation was really strong. I intended to follow you, but that was really hard. I intended to. At a certain point, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to help us follow through, because God's saying he will judge. The Father judges every single person perfectly according to their deeds, according to what they did. And if the Father judges each person according to their deeds, that should put the fear of God in us. He says, conduct yourselves, act with fear throughout the time of your exile. Act with fear. If the impartial God, if God is going to judge each person impartially according to their deeds, this should lead us to live a way of life in the fear of the Lord while we are in exile. What do I mean by exile? We are currently in exile. We're living away from our heavenly homeland. We're living away from what we were created for. We're waiting the time where we can go to heaven. And we should live in the fear of the Lord, not a bad fear that makes us paralyzed to do nothing. But let's look at a couple places where the scripture talks about fear of the Lord. First, fear of the Lord is found a lot in wisdom literature. The book of Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 9, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The book of Job, behold, the fear of the Lord is wisdom. The wisdom literature tells us the fear of the Lord is the starting point for seeing reality rightly. That actually the fear of the Lord saying, you are holy and I am not, and I want to become holy like you are holy, that actually shows us how to see things rightly. Fear of the Lord in the Psalms gives us trust and security. Psalm 34, those who fear him have no want. Psalm 111, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Again, Psalm 112, blessed is the man who fears the Lord. So it's not oppressive. It's not like, oh my gosh, I'm so scared. God's going to do something to me. But it's a seeing who God is. And when we see who God is and when we see who we are and we properly fear him, because fear of the Lord is a spiritual gift, right? We receive it at confirmation to say, actually, I'm now living in profound reverence. The fear of the Lord in Proverbs says is a fountain of life. The fear of the Lord, one turns away from evil. So this reverence produces in us moral transformation. In the book of Deuteronomy, what does the Lord require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to love him? It helps the fear of the Lord. Fear and love are not opposite of each other, but they belong together. The fear of the Lord helps us enter into the proper covenant with God. And so again, it's not this servile fear. It's not this bad fear of saying like, oh my gosh, God's going to strike me down. I don't know what God's going to do. He's so angry. He's so unpredictable. It's not fear of an angry father in that way. It's saying, whoa, I see you. I see who you are. I see what you're like. You are so good. You are so holy. I love in the Psalms, God says in a particular translation to David after he sins with Bathsheba, he says, you sinned because you thought I was altogether like you. You sinned. You offended me because you got too casual and too comfortable thinking I was just your chummy buddy, but I'm God. And so fear of the Lord is putting God in his place and putting ourselves in our own place below God. And that actually, friends, produces in us proper conduct. It produces in us right reality, seeing reality rightly. It produces in us a deeper love because we know who we're dealing with. If God is so holy and so majestic and he came down to get us and he mingles with us and he sits with us and he came for sinners, that much must mean I can have such a deep intimacy with him. And so as we walk through the rest of this Lent to say, Lord, I want to conduct myself with holy fear because of how holy you are. Reveal to me the ways I've gotten too familiar and too comfortable with your glory and your majesty. Show me so that I can be holy. That this fear of the Lord allows us to see reality rightly. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.